Welcome into episode 58 of the Godly Young Men podcast. We have an episode that is largely based in kind of what I deal with from the therapy end of it, but that's the idea of insecurities. And Will put together a great outline here of insecurities as a young man. I'd like to say that doesn't happen. I'd like to say that we don't have insecurities or that we're super tough or whatever. Sometimes we project as though we don't, but the more you project, the more that tells me you probably have them.
Yep.
So everybody, I think, to a certain extent, is insecure about one thing or another, but we're going to ask some difficult questions. Are we okay with that? What do we do about that if we are looking to change it? Things like that. And I would say this is typically associated with females. A lot of people say, well, oh, she's very insecure about her body, or she's very, very insecure about XYZ. But honestly, I do think it's something that a lot of guys struggle with as well. We just have no outlet to talk about it. Women are more likely to talk about it to others. They're more likely to maybe talk about it online or talk about it with their families or with their other girlfriends. We don't usually do that. So we kind of suffer in silence, quote unquote, with our insecurities. And that's a problem. It's something we want to change.
And we need to, this is something we need to talk about because I'm going to be fully honest. I struggled growing up with compassion for people who were insecure. We're going to get to a part actually where maybe we'll share a few personal insecurities that we have. I never really had a ton. And so I would always get very frustrated with people who did and who would wear it on their sleeve of like, you know, I'm not supposed to say this, but like, man, suck it up. You're fine. Like, you don't have to be insecure about this. And the one thing I've learned is that, listen, this is a lot more common for guys. Like, I guess I used to think that it's only kind of the strange guys that are insecure.
The losers or whatever.
The losers. And that's not the case. Like Joe's saying, this is something that I do think a pretty fair majority of guys struggle with. Some guys have a lot of insecurities, and some guys don't have a lot, but they still might have one or two or three things that they're insecure about. And so we need to talk about it because, as Joe said, there's not a lot of outlet for discussing those things. You're not going to talk about it with your parents. Yeah. You're probably not going to talk about it with your guy friends because, you know, you come across as a wimp or a loser. You know, again, the way I used to view people, you don't want people viewing that way about you. You're not going to talk about it with a girl that you like. You don't really have any outlet for it. And so, as Joe said, I do think this is something we definitely need to talk about. So, Joe, let's dive right in.
Sure.
What are some common areas of insecurity for guys? If we've got Godly Young Men watching this episode, what are probably some things that if they are insecure, this is what they're insecure about?
The first thing that comes to mind is the same for females, but I would say for guys, you'd be surprised how many guys I talk to that really do struggle with their looks, with their body, with their image, you know, their body image and kind of what that looks like. And they look at themselves in the mirror. They really are not happy with what they see. Maybe that's weight. Maybe that's a certain feature. They don't like their nose, whatever it is. Women are more likely to talk about it because they're into makeup and things like that. So men don't because it's like, what a loser. All he does is think about his looks. Yeah, but you also start to wonder maybe if you've been unlucky with the girls or whatever. Is that the reason why?
Well, the other thing I was going to point out is our culture. So it's men are more visual than women. Men care more about looks. But I think our culture does push the idea very heavily that, man, women are all about the looks. Like, man, if he's not 6 foot and, you know, dark brown hair or whatever. And guys, especially if you're on social media, you can buy into that very much. Like, man, I'm not 6 foot or I don't have the perfect jawline or I don't have the perfectly symmetrical face. And I do think guys can really get in their head about that because of what culture pushes that females are looking for. And I think females are more visual than we typically give them credit for. But yeah, I think that plays into it.
I think so too. And I think there is a hierarchy among guys as to, we all know who the good looking guy is. You know, we may talk about it being gay to even acknowledge it, but there is a level of like, yeah, you know the stud.
Even with actors, like you can look at an actor and go, okay, that guy's good looking. Henry Cavill or,
I was going to say the Chris Hemsworth with the huge muscles and whatnot. And people go, well, I don't find him, you know, I'll hear females, I don't find him attractive. Like
give me a break.
Okay. Time out. Like, how is that not
that's
the
exactly
case?
Right.
It drives me nuts to hear them. Oh, I don't find him attractive. Like, you're just telling me that because you're married to me. You know, my wife will say that. Like, that's very nice, but come on. We're all looking at it. There's a guy on the Avalanche, Gabriel Landeskog, who's just one of those. They call him in the, which may be a crude term, I don't know. They call him man rockets in the hockey world. And the guy's
just a good
looking
dude.
He's just a
good looking
dude.
Yeah.
He's just a stud. And you look at yourself in the mirror and you're like, that ain't anywhere close to that. Well, yeah, this is what creates insecurities. Part of it. We're going to get into that. But just looking, comparing yourself to others there. Another thing I'd say is academic ability. You're looking at the guy across the room. It's like, wow, he's, you know, straight A student. Or even your buddy. Your buddy showing scores like, wow, I got a B+. That's a really tough test. I'm looking at a C, whatever it is. That can cause insecurity from the academic. I'll give one more and then I'll let you kind of get in the last three. The difference from the A-list male, you know, the guy who is athletic, he's tall, he's smart, he's good looking, he's muscular, he's everything that the ladies want. And you can kind of look at them and be like, man, I am not that alpha male, top dog, you know, the jock that gets everybody. And so maybe you're looking at it and you are in public school and you see the people that you gravitate toward. And there are times where you step back and go, man, all my friends are geeks. Like, all my friends are not the person that maybe everybody else wants. And that can be something that can cause insecurity.
We've talked about this before, the fact that everybody deep down knows who the A-list males are, like you said, you know, the guys that are tall, muscular, good at sports, you know, good looking, et cetera. And so if you're different from that, maybe you're not into sports or you're not very tall, again, not very developed muscles or whatever, you can see, man, I'm different from that. And that can be a cause of insecurity. I'll run through the other ones really quickly. This would be more on the, you know, less high school, more on the college, out of college end. But like, if you have a low status job, maybe you don't have a lot of money, don't make a lot of money, that can be a big source of insecurity. Right. Looking around at people making a whole lot more than you, maybe driving nicer cars than you, living in better houses than you. That I mean, let's be honest, guys do have mental competitions about that kind of thing. Like, how much you think he makes? You know, that's something that guys do care about, whether they should or not. It's just the way it is.
The blue collar versus white collar. This guy here is over here working on AI, and I'm a janitor. Now, the reality is the janitor may be making more, but that's not what everybody else sees. You know, the blue collar versus white collar debate can really be a point of contention as well on the low status job, quote unquote.
Yeah. So another one, we're still on the common areas of insecurity for guys. Another one would be your ability with females. Are you not... Do you not have the skill of flirting, which is probably not always the best thing to use, but some guys have it and some guys don't.
That charm.
The charm. That's a very good way to put it. Of like, are you charming with the females? Do they, you know, enjoy being around you? Some guys are just not very good with female. Like, they just, you know, jokes are ill-timed or they don't know how to have conversations with them. And so maybe you're insecure about that. And then last but not least, you know, just we've talked about this one a lot, but like, if you're not good at conversation, not very good, you know, talking to people in general, maybe your social standing kind of, that can be a cause of insecurity. So needless to say, we've gone, you know, 7-8 minutes already. There's a lot of things that guys can be pretty insecure about. Joe, what I want you to get into is, what are some of the causes of these things? We've already hit on some of them with like comparisons to other people and such, but I want you to really delve into maybe stuff that you've seen in your therapy. I've got some non-therapy stuff from my perspective that I think, but I want you to maybe get into why are guys insecure?
I think the first one you have on here, actually, which I'll let you get into, but the first one you have is very much what I deal with in therapy. One that comes to mind immediately is bullying. You do see this a lot with, specifically in public school, one of the reasons we hate public schools, but look, when you were in public school, that we still went to hockey, we still saw these things, you know, whether you're in sports or extracurricular or whatever it may be. Bullying can cause a lot of this because you recognize I'm ostracized from everybody around me. They don't think that I'm enough. They don't think I'm good enough. I would say within your own family structure, if you find every family has, there's different parts to play. You can't have like two smart kids in the family. You'll have a smart kid and a troublemaker because it's like, I can't be the smart kid. My sister gets all the straight A's. I'm never going to be that. So they swing to the other side. And then there's the jokester and he's always, you know, making jokes about things, or there's the whatever it may be, right?
That's interesting. Yeah.
Every family, you know, like the kids have certain roles. Maybe your role in the family is one that, again, you don't really feel like you're enough. You don't feel like I'm smart enough. I'm good enough. Everybody else seems to be better than me. That can cause insecurity as well, just from a familial perspective. Get us into the one you have though, because I'll comment on this.
Yeah. For a cause of insecurity, just lack of parental affirmation.
Yeah.
Not growing up in a house where your parents tell them or tell you that they love you. That can be pretty devastating. That's, I guess, pretty kind of a more serious thing than insecurities. But like, you know, parents not telling them, hey, you know, I really think you can really get this grade on this test. I believe in you. Tell them that they're good at sport. Yeah, that they're proud of them. And that, you know, I don't think it's a parent's job to like gas their kid up and make their kid think they're the greatest thing since sliced bread. At the same time, if you've got a kid whose parents never tell him anything positive and never, you know, tell him he looks good or whatever, you know, like any of these areas that we've looked at, I mean, your parents are the ones theoretically you're closest to, you spend the most time with, and if they're not doing that, you can see how guys get insecure about stuff.
Your dad never shows up to your basketball game. You know, you had a tough day at school, you got nobody to turn to. You can't talk to them because they're not really, they don't pay attention, they don't care, that whatever it may be, or maybe you're projecting they don't care, or maybe they really have shown they don't care about these things. Those are the things that create insecurity, because within your own family, if you don't feel you belong there, if you don't feel like you're good enough there, if you feel like I'm ostracized within my own family because of XYZ, my dad doesn't think I'm a good enough basketball player. And in reality, that's probably not it. He's probably just working a lot. But what we internalize, the message we get is, he's not proud of me. He doesn't think I'm good enough, whatever it may be. And this is how you get somebody. I'm reading through Steve Jobs' biography. guy who started Apple, for those young whippersnappers who don't understand who Steve Jobs is. Pretty big deal. In starting Apple. He was adopted. And apparently he had a lifelong thing of like, where, what happened? Why was I given up? Why was I not enough? Why did they? And so it drove a lot of positive, and it also drove a lot of negative. He was a very troubled soul, so to speak. I read Elon Musk's biography recently. It kind of went hand in hand, same authors. They're very interesting books. And his dad used to like physically beat them and then also verbally abuse them. I'm not saying that obviously would cause insecurities, but his idea of his dad saying, "You're so stupid." Kids deal with that.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think his thing was? I'm going to be the smartest guy in the room. And I mean,
turns out he was.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's one of the smartest guys in the world. But it all came from his dad telling him, you're too stupid.
Parents play a huge role.
Parents play a huge role is all we're saying. I don't want to spend all the time on this, but if you're dealing with insecurities, consider your relationship with your parents. If it's not your parents, then I would look more toward the bullying, or I'd look toward this other one, which is you comparing yourself to other guys.
I think this goes hand in hand with the next one, so I'll group them together. But social media, I think, plays a huge role in this. We've had episodes on social media before, but we think girls are the only ones that play the comparison game of like looking at everybody else's pictures and going, man, she looks so good, or she's got the best looking boyfriend, or gets to travel or whatever. Guys do that as well. Let's be real. Again, like guys
no doubt
compare themselves to other guys, and that can really be a cause of insecurity, specifically through social media. Again, he's got the better looking girlfriend. He drives a nicer car. He gets to go do all this fun stuff. You know, maybe makes a good amount of money, whatever. Social media can be a big issue with this. Unless you have more to comment on that, I was going to let you handle the last one, which is probably for our godly young men the most important as far as cause of insecurity.
Yeah, lack of proper spiritual perspective. I like how you put that down on here, because in the end, what do your looks matter? You know, your athletic or academic ability. I'm not saying it doesn't matter. I'm not saying, look, we've gone all out on this podcast to say be the best you can be, strive for greatness, things like that. So you're not going to hear us be like, it's okay to be a loser in life. No, I mean, you want to be the best you can be with what God's given you. But in the end, that's really what it comes down to, is God gave you specific things for specific reasons. And that specific reason is ultimately to turn it back to Him. The proper spiritual perspective is, am I in a right relationship with Him? And am I allowing His love for me to define
how does
my
he
value
me?
Yeah. Correct. Your value never drops below, because while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8, right? What does that tell you? If you were loved at your very worst, while you were in sin, while you were an enemy of God, while you hated God and you were at your very worst, that's when He sent Christ to die. Not when you were at your best, but when you were at your worst. That puts your value at max level, max capacity. You can't drop down below that by things you do. Insecurities are, I can. I'm not valuable enough. I'm not worth enough until I do X, Y, Z, until I have the proper jawline, until I'm smart, until, you know, academically smart, or until I learn how to be a better athlete. That's when I'll know I'm enough. God's already made you enough in His sight. That's honestly the start of any change we're going to make.
And a lot of young men don't have that.
A lot of young men don't have it. They don't have that proper spiritual perspective. We'll talk a little bit more at the end and kind of wrap that in as to finding worth and value in Christ. But that's a huge reason for insecurity, is we just lack the inability, or we have an inability to see our own worth in Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's get into some of these questions that I think are interesting discussions, and then we'll get into basically how to overcome insecurities. Because
I'm going
to
ask you this.
Yeah,
one.
Go
Sorry, because you asked me, and I'm going to ask you this one. Very interesting question. Very interesting questions, I should say. But the first, is it true that everyone has insecurities? I think I said it right at the beginning that everybody does. So, and then, you know, you're like, I think most people do. And so it causes me, I think this is an interesting discussion. Is it true that everyone has insecurities?
I think so. Like I said, I think there are people out there who have a lot of insecurities and wear them on their sleeve. And then there are other guys who don't really have a lot. But I do think deep down, everybody has at least one thing that they are not contented with about themselves. And maybe insecurity is the wrong word, but like, you know, I don't think everybody has everything figured out, I guess. Like if a guy is secure about every single thing in his life, man, kudos to that guy, because like he's bad. I don't think there's a lot of those people in the world. For the most part, I would say yes. I'm sure everybody on earth probably has at least one thing that they're insecure about. Again, just because there's such a range of things that you can be insecure about. Where you live, what job you work. Again, your height, your weight, your face, your money. Like literally, there's so many different things. And so for a guy to say no, I'm fine with every single thing. Okay, you're probably not. Like, I don't know. What are your thoughts on it?
I think you bring up another interesting question not on here. What's the difference between a weakness and an insecurity? Is there a difference? Because what you're speaking to, I think everybody has weaknesses. And I would agree with you, actually. I think everybody does have insecurities, but I think the way you handle the weakness, it's one thing to know your weakness and go, yeah, I'm not great at that, but I'm owning it, I'm working on it. I don't see that as an insecurity.
There's like a shame element to it.
Yes, yes. Whereas that's a perfect way to say it. You're not secure in it. And that way, to your point of what you were saying, like, and because you're not secure in it, there is a shame. There's a level of guilt. Whereas a weakness, I don't think there's a shame. You go, I'm not good at this. I'm not, I referenced it last episode, I'm not a good snowmobiler. I'm just not. I found that out recently. I'm not good. Am I insecure about it? I think initially I was, to be quite honest with you. I think I was insecure. Like, I don't do a ton of, I don't branch out in enough areas where I'm, and this is going to sound really arrogant, I don't mean it. It speaks more to my not taking enough risks from last one. I don't branch out in a lot of things that I'm not necessarily good at. That was one of those that I'm not. Was I insecure that I was bad at it, or was I insecure about the fact that you three, the guys I went with, were really good at and I wasn't? I think that's where the insecurity came in. It would have been, if I was doing it on my own, it's like, man, I'm just not great at this. It's a weakness. I'm not that insecure about it.
Yeah.
When did insecurity come in? Embarrassment. Yeah. A little bit of shame. Yeah. Right? Where all of a sudden, three guys I'm with are pretty good at it. I'm not. I'm the lone man that's struggling in this area. That creates insecurity faster than anything because there's an embarrassment element. So does everybody have insecurities? At one point in their life, I would say yes. Maybe not all at once, but at some time, you're going to hit the embarrassment factor of one of your weaknesses, and you will feel it.
Yeah, I think for me, like, one of them would be I didn't graduate college. I got like 90% of the way and then got married and just kind of stopped. And so I wouldn't call that, I don't know, maybe that is an insecurity for me. I'm not sure of, like, you know, I'm around Joe, I'm around Jack a lot, guys that did a ton more academic things than I did. So yeah, there's a little part of me that's like, man, I didn't graduate college. And that's something that, you know, again, I'm sure a lot of guys can have similar things that they struggle with. Maybe you got a low ACT score or something. I don't know. But like, I'm confident in my academic ability, but not having the degree, the piece of paper behind it or whatever. I don't know. I guess for me personally, that would be something that I could see as a weakness that could possibly be an insecurity. And I think to our point we've been hitting, I think everybody has something like that that they look and go, you know, maybe they acknowledge the weakness or maybe it does turn into insecurity from a shame perspective.
And I think, to your point, other people matter. The insecurity comes when there are multiple people there. I'm not insecure about things on my own. If I was the only one on planet Earth, I wouldn't be insecure about my weight because it's like, compared to who?
Right.
What about my jawline? You know, like, compared to who? It doesn't really matter that much. I'd like to think that I'd still be working out if I was the only one, but maybe not. I don't know. When I'm around you, when I'm around Jack, my brother used to be very overweight. He's not, man. He's cut. He's in a very good shape at this point because he worked hard for it.
Yeah.
I can get insecure because I used to be that guy who had a pretty good jawline and you know, in very good shape playing a lot of hockey. I'm not anymore. The insecurity comes from being
when other people come in the picture.
Correct. Yeah. When other people, and it's like, man, I'm not that. I look around at other people, the social media, as you referenced, the causes of insecurity. It's like, that's where you really go to find out where you measure up.
Yeah.
And if we're not careful, the worth and the value and things like that can get tied up into, it's not just a weakness that I need to work on. It's, this defines me. Oh, I'm the fat guy. Well, hold on a second. You know, this is where it starts to get into your identity more than just a weakness. And once again, now we're hitting on insecurities. Let's get into the second one, though. Are insecurities sinful?
This is a very interesting question. I'm going to make you go first on this one because I definitely have my thoughts on this. But are insecurities sinful is a very interesting question. What do you think?
I think they can be. I think they can be. You have some good points on here. Discontented with the way God created you. Is being discontent a sin? I think it can be. Yeah, I think it can be a lack of gratitude. I think it can be you choosing to focus on the things that you don't have. It can be envious. It can be a lot of different things, you know, as you're looking at it toward others. I think the envy is sin. The jealousy is sin. I think the grumbling can be a sin. I think all of those things can be a sin. To look around and go, man, I do not measure up, and I'm feeling a little bit sad about that. I'm feeling a little bit hurt by that, a little bit embarrassed. I wouldn't call it a sin personally, but I think if we're not careful, it can very quickly turn into sin.
That was pretty much going to be my answer. I have a very subjective answer to this, but essentially, if you're a guy and you just have a ton of insecurities about all kinds of different things, I think you're getting pretty close to sinful, because I think you are expressing so much discontentment with the way God created you. And to be frank, I think you're too self-focused.
Yeah.
If you're analyzing yourself so closely where you're like, man, I've got this, I'm insecure about this and this and this and this, you're probably doing a little too much navel gazing. You're probably focused a little bit too much on yourself. And so, yeah, like, I don't have a number of it on it. Like, if you have five or more insecurities, that's not what I'm saying. I think you can know, you know, deep down, of like, okay, I spend a little too much time thinking about myself. On the other hand, if you've got something that you see as a weakness and maybe there's some shame there, maybe you're insecure about it. I don't think that's necessarily sinful. I think what you do with it could be sinful. Yeah. If you wallow in it, if you, again, just focus on yourself too much, I think that's where it becomes sinful.
Jealousy of others.
Yeah,
again, envious of others and really wishing you had what they had.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I don't have a ton to add there. I think they can be, and that's where I would challenge everybody to be careful. The next thing, though, should you try to overcome insecurities? We don't have a ton of time to get into this one because we have a lot we want to get into for this last section of how do we overcome them. But, Joe, should you try to overcome insecurities?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it does anybody any good to go around in embarrassment, you know, shame, embarrassment, feeling bad about yourself. I don't think you gain anything by staying in that position. I think insecurities exist for you to learn how to level up and to get better. And if you, and it's not just chasing their approval, somebody else's, we'll get into that in the next one. Overcoming your insecurities isn't about getting everybody else to think you're amazing. It's about getting yourself to understand that you're amazing, right? And that you're in proper standing, you're okay, you're good. It's really your relationship with yourself which is at stake. But yeah, should you try to overcome it? Yeah, because until you do, I think your relationship with yourself will just stink.
I was trying to think. You see guys in the Bible that dealt with, probably insecurity is not the, but like mental health issues type of things where they were really down on themselves. Elijah comes to mind, like basically ready to kill himself. Like he didn't want to be around anymore. David, you should read the Psalms and you can see David had a lot of things that he was dealing with mentally that, you know, I'm not going to necessarily call it insecurity, but it's something that he was struggling with and he had to kind of work through. And so, yeah, I do think you should overcome it because to that point, both those guys were really strong, biblical, solid, righteous guys that worked through those things. David, man after God's own heart, Elijah, incredible prophet. Moses is another one that comes to mind. He definitely had insecurities. At least it seems like he did in Exodus when he was offering up like 8 different excuses as to why he couldn't go to Pharaoh.
Paul's thorn in the flesh. A lot of people say that's insecurities. Some people think it's his eyesight. He had a real big insecurity about his eyesight being really bad. Couldn't barely see anybody. That's why, you know, when you see I'm writing this in my own hand.
Or what my large own letters I've written.
What large letters, like, he couldn't see. I think he seemed very insecure. And that's, you know, hence that passage in 2 Corinthians, I think, 12, right? Christ's power is perfecting our weakness, but that's kind of to this point of, yeah, we should be trying to overcome those things.
And I go back to Moses, who, you know, you could argue maybe he didn't have those insecurities, he just didn't want to do it and was offering up the excuses of like, I'm not a good talker or I can't speak very well or whatever. Let's say he did have those insecurities. What did he turn into? One of the greatest men on the face of the earth. Like one of the greatest men that's ever lived is what Moses turned into because, you know, by all appearances, the insecurities that he had, he pushed through them and he overcame them. So,
yeah.
Joe, I wanted to bring in kind of those biblical examples to showcase, yeah, I mean, this has been, for guys, this is not something that's like uncommon or just starting to happen now. Like guys have had these things for a while. But Joe, probably the most important part of the episode, how do we overcome them? We are in agreement that we should overcome, and I know I've been asking you all the questions, so if you want to make me start, go for it. But we think you should overcome insecurities, and so the next obvious logical question would be, okay, how do I overcome those insecurities?
I got some thoughts on number 2 on this list, so I'll let you go first.
Yeah, so the first thing that I would say is, when it comes to how to overcome insecurities, you want to make growth the goal, not perfection.
Right.
Again, if you're looking at the A-list male, the perfect guy, and saying, man, I just want to get to that point of looking that good, you know, maybe singing that well, playing that instrument that well, perfection is not the goal. Growth is the goal. And that's the key that I would say. If you're insecure about something, don't just skip ahead to the part where you wish that, maybe with females, you want to skip ahead to the, I'm instantly charming, you know, and I haven't been charming before. Make growth the goal. Get better at it. Maybe it's the muscles thing where you wish you had bigger muscles. Don't just want to skip ahead to perfection. Make growth, working on those things, part of the same thing with academics. All these things, you want to make growth the goal and not perfection. I don't really know any other way to say it other than you can appreciate the process and appreciate that you're working through some of these things, or you can just be upset about the fact that you're not where you want to be.
That's a great way to put it. You know, you're overweight. Are you going to be happy with the fact that you are consistently going to the gym, or are you going to be down on yourself because you haven't lost 100 pounds yet?
Right.
I mean, you got to find security in and hope in and this proper self-perspective and value in you doing the work. I think that's a great way of putting it. Number 2, stop caring what insignificant people think. And I would really say stop caring what anybody else thinks. Yeah, to your point, the insignificant people. Look, my wife and my family and you and people like that, like my best friends.
That's what I meant by,
of course, I'm going to take it into consideration, but I will also say this. I don't think there's anybody. My wife is probably as close as it gets. There's not really anybody that I would put above what I think of myself, and that sounds really arrogant to say. That's the way it should be with everybody, is... Yeah, we want to take wise counsel. I'm not saying we don't take wise counsel. You know, where somebody says something, you go, I know myself. No, listen to other people. At the end of the day, though, what other people think of you, if you allow that to define, because what if my wife, if I give it over to my wife, if I give it over to somebody else, specifically insignificant people.
You have no control over it.
I have no control over it. And how do I know they're not wrong? How do I know that with myself, if I'm wrong, if it, as long as it's pushing me to be better, if I'm wrong, so what? I'm still better at the end of the day. Whereas for other people, it just takes all the control and power away from us. And so the idea of stop caring what other people think, if you only knew how little people thought of you, like they just aren't sitting around going, boy, Joe, he's terrible. Most of the time they're not. And if they do, they can man up and come talk to me about it. But I'm not going to go around with a chip on my shoulder wondering what other people think of me.
What I was just going to say on this is you might have to either get off social media or spend way less time on social media for this one, because that's where we can trick ourselves into thinking, you know, people that put a lot of thought into doctoring their Instagram posts or doctoring, you know, putting in a lot of godly men aren't Facebook users, but like I gotta broadcast the perfect life on social media because I'm so worried up about what people think. Man, stop worrying about what people think about you, especially on social media.
This was me. I'm smiling. This was me.
Go for it.
This is why I'm not on Facebook anymore, because Facebook was the rage when I was this age. I stopped posting probably 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Yeah.
The reason why is exactly this. I would sit there and I'd be thinking, I literally waste 15, 20, 30 minutes trying to come up with the perfect post. What's going to get the most engagement? I could post the meaning of life and get 6 likes. Somebody could post that their dog just, you know, ate food off their plate and 45 likes, 100 likes. And you're just like, what? How is that liked more than mine? And so I would really try to like game the system. No.
Caring what people think.
And I got to the point where it's like, I'm wasting my life and I'm visibly getting upset. Like I can physically feel this. People are visibly seeing me upset because of this. How stupid is it? But it goes back to insecurity. People don't like my posts as much as them. I'm not liked as much as them. Get off social media. It has changed my life. And I know I need to post on it probably more than I do because now we're running a podcast.
Business purposes.
But truly, I would say get off of social media. That's one way to overcome your insecurity is stop putting yourself in a place where you're constantly comparing to others. Yeah.
Let's go to the third one. And I think this is second most important. Last one's most important. But when it comes to how to overcome the insecurities, I would say develop a plan to combat the areas of your insecurity. By that, I mean, don't just be the guy that's like, yeah, I'm insecure about my weight. What are you going to do? You know, man, I'm insecure about the way I am with females. I just don't know what to do. Man, I'm insecure about my academic. Figure out how you're going to get better at those things. Yeah. This is a Godly Young Men podcast staple. Like, we are so big on get over it and go do something about it. Like, again, this is going to be a soapbox for us, but like, man, if you're worried about, man, I just don't have enough muscle, then go to the gym and work out.
Right.
Like, develop your muscles. Get a protein powder shake mix. You know, get a personal plan online of what weights you need to lift.
Right.
It's not that hard. There's a lot of resources we have. Like, if you're insecure about that, fix it. If you're insecure about how bad you are at conversation, work on that. Practice that. Again, with the female thing, if you're like, man, I'm not very charming. Some guys do naturally have, but I also think you can learn how to be more charming and learn how to be better conversationalist with females. I don't want to take all of this because there's more on here, but like...
The guys that are good with females, the reason they're not, the guys that are naturally good is because they don't have that many insecurities. They are perfectly okay with themselves and they don't live and die by what the female thinks of them.
Yep.
That's what causes you to be good with
and
females.
And females can tell that and that's what they like about
correct,
it.
Correct. Yep. Is I really don't care what you think of me. If you think that I'm an idiot... Okay, it's not that big a deal. It goes to this point, though. And let me say this. Let me make this point. This has to be for you.
Oh, yeah.
This has to be for you. If this is for others, like my dad's, you know, if I get really good at this, my dad will finally pay attention. No, wrong reason. It goes to our last point of stop caring what other people think. Well, my dad doesn't think I could do it. I don't care what your dad thinks, and neither should you. That sounds really, really mean. And look, respect your father, honor your father and mother.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, my dad doesn't show up to my basketball game. My dad told me I'm stupid. My dad, you know, said this, or my mom said that. We can spend our entire lives trying to chase down their approval, trying to chase down, you know, I'm going to be enough this time. Stop trying to be enough for them. Be enough for yourself. Be enough with God, because God understands that you are enough. You are a child of His. If you've been baptized and you're into Christ, it's, and this gets us into the last one here, but like, your worth is found in Christ, not in anything else, not in anyone else, not in your dad thinking that you are the best person ever. I hope your dad does. I hope your dad spurs you on. But if you don't have that, you can't do these things for the purpose of trying to get somebody else to pay attention to you. It has to be for you. But I like that you had this on here of like, the best way to overcome insecurities is overcome them. Like, it sounds dumb, but seriously, Push yourself.
Just to provide a few more examples, like, man, I'm not very smart. Then work harder at your schoolwork.
That's right.
You know, read more books. Try to learn more. Every single thing we've talked about, man, I'm insecure about my job. I don't get paid enough. Work hard for a promotion or ask for a raise or go look for multiple income streams. Like, I think, again, the big point with us is, like, there's so many things you can control.
That's right. Control.
Take control over them. Yep. And that's the biggest thing with every single one of these is that if you're insecure about something, don't just wallow in it and go, man, I'm just so insecure. Figure out a way to get over it. And I think that's why I used to have such little patience for people. And I still, you can tell, I kind of do have still not very a lot of patience for this. But, like, of the people that just wallow in their insecurities, I don't have a lot of patience for it because I do feel like in just about every way, you can do something to at least push yourself, grow, and try to overcome it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Let's get into the last one here. And that
my mini soapbox. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. That's okay because I'm going to tie a little bit
this is the most important thing.
This is the most important thing I'd say, but this last one does tie into this. Adopt the proper biblical perspective, which is finding your ultimate worth in Christ. Now, that's a cliche you'll hear from the pulpit a lot. Find your worth in Christ. Find your worth in Christ. You're like, great.
What does that mean?
What does that even mean? I don't know what that means. It means your value can't dip below ultimate value in God's eyes. There's nothing you can do. There's no sin you can commit. There's nothing you can do. You could be the greatest, smartest man on the planet. In God's eyes, you're still a sinner, but that Christ died for you. Everybody has maximum value in that way, maximum worth in that way. Now, the value we provide to society is different. The guy who goes out and robs banks is obviously not providing the same value to society as the guy who goes out and builds the banks. So that does change, but your value in Christ, your worth in Christ, does not. And so when we talk about that, we have to come from the perspective of, He does love me, and because He loves me, and because He died for me, and because God thinks that I'm enough, my dad may not, my friends may not, the bullies at school may think I'm not enough, God thinks I'm enough.
Yep.
And why? How do I know that? Because He sent Christ to die for me when I was at my very worst. It's a very personal element to the gospel here. When that is the case, and when your worth is found in Christ, that's when you go, you know what? Joe is worth taking care of. Joe is worth actually hitting the gym.
And when you can say, who cares what some guy on social media thinks?
That's exactly it, because I know I have a God who loves me. I know my value doesn't drop based off what He thinks of my jawline or what He thinks of my academics or what He thinks of anything else. Yep. I know that I'm enough in Christ. And because I'm enough in Christ, I'm going to give my very best. And so we don't just sit back and go, well, I'm enough in Christ. I can go eat, you know, bazillion bags of potato chips and balloon to 350 pounds. No, I'm enough in Christ, and He thought enough of me that He has saved me from my sin, but He's also saved me from myself. And one of the things, and you know, with that is we tend to have a lot of self-loathing. We tend to have a lot of shame, things like that, as we've talked about, the embarrassment. He saved us from that as well. We don't have to be embarrassed about who we are. In Christ, we've already overwhelmingly conquered. And with that, we get into, okay, how else can I conquer in life? What other things can I do for myself to be the best I can be? That's how I can talk to females, and it's like, I don't need their approval. I don't need them to think I'm amazing. I know God thinks that I am, and if there are areas where I go, man, I'm not pleasing to God, okay, He's given me His Spirit. He's literally given me the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to go change that, to go fix it. So He's given us all the tools. He's called us to something greater. He's cocooned us in His love and given us a foundation upon which to build. I mean, what more could you want when it comes to insecurity? So Christ is the foundation for overcoming any insecurity we have.
Yeah, and that's perfect way to wrap it up. I had a lot of thoughts that I was just going to say, like, there's so much that goes into that. I think you covered every single element very well. Ultimately, at the end of the day, if you don't view yourself as Christ views you, you are probably going to have more insecurities, and you're probably going to struggle a whole lot more. The first step in changing that is doing what exactly Joe said, understanding what God did for you shows the value He has for you, shows the ultimate worth that you have. And if you truly believe, if you're a baptized Christian, you confess that you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and you know that God sent Him to die for your sins, then you should believe in the value that you have as a person. And that should motivate you to that point to work hard to overcome these things. Not to just sit back and say, oh, cool, I can do whatever I want. No, but it should motivate you that you are enough for God so that you can push to be even better. So that's where we're going to wrap. Long, you know, pretty lengthy episode there, but I think a lot of guys can struggle with this, and so we felt like we needed to give it the due diligence to cover all those questions, cover all the areas. Sure. Love to hear your thoughts, as always, any comments or any feedback. This is an area that a lot of guys struggle with, and a lot of different, again, causes for it, a lot of different, you know, reasons why they're insecure, but we want to challenge you to overcome those insecurities. And if you are wallowing in it, if you are one of the people that's just insecure about everything, check your heart, I would say, because I think it can borderline on sinful. But we do think you can overcome them. We think you should try to overcome them. That's for the purpose of this podcast. So anything else that you want to add to kind of the wrap-up conclusion here?
Just find out why. You know, whatever it is, and how we know insecurities is there anything that somebody can say that you go, ooh, I don't feel good, too good about that. Well, now you know it's insecurity, yeah, right? Because it's hitting you in a different spot. Find out what yours are if you don't know what they are, the touchy points that you would be afraid of something. And then just ask yourself why. Why is this an insecurity of mine? Why do I think I'm not smart enough? Why do I think I'm not good looking enough? Why do I think whatever it is? And you'll find that it goes back to the things we talked about, the comparisons, lack of parental affirmation, whatever it is. You want to work through that, but ultimately you do want to come back to the gospel and recognize you have it in God. So yeah, that's all I'd say. If there's nothing else, we'll wrap right here. This has been episode 58 of the Godly Amen podcast. Thank you for listening. We will talk to you again next week.